Well, Merry Christmas. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Ryan, and I'm the Director of Family Ministries here, and it's such an honor to get to share with you this morning. We're just coming out of the Advent season, and believe it or not, we are still very much in Christmas time. So, kids in the room, can I get an amen? No, just from you down there. Great. So Christmas time is not over. I believe if I'm counting on the 12 days of Christmas, I think we're at 5 golden rings today, if I am correct. So now that's going to be humming in your head as we go, and that's okay. But we just came out of a time and a season where we spend time contemplating and thinking about and worshiping the reality of our Savior has come. And like you, I have many traditions that we do in our family. You can probably think of a number of them right off the top of your head that you love doing and just look forward to every year. And for us, in our family, one of the things that we love doing, we make an army-sized amount of cookies every year for no apparent reason other than fun. I'm pretty sure that's the only reason we do it. We make all kinds of cookies. We make candy cane-shaped cookies. We do the sugar cookies with the cutouts. We do anything and everything, and there's always way, way too many, and we never eat them, and I'm pretty sure I throw them away later anyway. I think we save a couple for Santa, and I'm pretty sure Santa gets stale cookies, so that's okay. But we have this tradition, and sometimes, though, when we get ready for these traditions, I get a little nervous because sometimes when parents in the room, maybe you understand, when you do things with your kids, sometimes it can be a little bit daunting, and you can sometimes not look forward to the entire thing because you're afraid of breakdowns, and especially when we do our cookie day, it's like an all-day ordeal, so I kind of go into it expecting tragedy to occur at some point. This year in particular, I don't know what happened, but it was magical. It was a Christmas Hallmark movie miracle, and it was so great. And we had the most amazing family day that you could ever have. It was so picturesque. I wish I had taken more photos of that day because it was just perfect. Everything about it went how it should have gone in my mind, which never happens. Often we set ideas in our brain of how things should go, and do they end up going that way? No. A loud no from the back, because that's kind of the way of life. But this day was different. And we were wrapping up, and we were kind of cleaning up all of our dishes, and I was just thinking to myself how picturesque this moment was. And then everyone go, dun, 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 dun. This is what I do in chapel with the kids, because that's your sign something dreadful is about to happen. One of my daughters goes in to take a shower and get ready for bed, and as she comes out, I'm still kind of basking in the glow of the beautiful day that we had, that nothing could go wrong. And she comes out, she's scratching her head, and she says, "Something's wrong with my head. My head's really itchy." At that moment, like you, I reacted exactly the same way. I went in the room and I started praying harder than I ever have prayed in my life. I was pacing around the floor, just, please God, don't let this be what I think it is. My wife takes our daughter into the other room and starts going through her hair, literally with a fine tooth comb, just to see, just to make sure that, you know, everything is okay. And I'm in the other room and I hear this come out of the other room. Uh-oh, bad news. Not what I wanted. I was like, God, we're praying here. What's happening? I'm supposed to hear good news. And my wife was telling me bad news. And I come in, and sure enough, head lice. Now, if you've ever been in a home where that's happened, you'll know within a matter of moments, the entire house goes from completely calm to completely chaotic and nothing is in its right place. You have to take every stuffed animal, every pillow, every blanket, you have to wash it, dry it, burn it, I don't know, anything and everything to get rid of it. I suggested we shave everyone's head. I didn't have it, so it didn't affect me very much. But they all said no. So we had to go, and you have to get all the medication, all the correct shampoo. You have to go to the store. And of course, you don't get enough the first time. So you have to go back the second time. And then you forgot. I forgot to get this thing. So you got to go back for this. And it was just constant back and forth. And just the thing that you dread and you're not looking forward to. And here we are, this beautiful day, suddenly in my brain and in my heart, kind of faded away. I let go of all the goodness that had happened and just was soaking in the dread and the bad news. And like life, often, when it rains, it pours. Because that week in particular, I had all kinds of things, much like you. Christmas time is a very busy time of year for us. We're always going from this thing to this thing. We have to get this thing done. And sure enough, in the midst of all of this, I don't know if any of you have this kind of a car, but newer cars have a little push button instead of an actual ignition key. And in the midst of all the craziness, that decided to stop working correctly in my car. Not the opportune time. And so suddenly more bad news begins to hit and sink in. And that great, amazing, beautiful, good day began slipping away even further because now I'm just worried about how do I get rid of the headlights? How do I fix the car? How do I do all of this? And oh my goodness, what kind of bill am I going to get? Like, what is going to happen? Is it going to be fixed? Am I going to be without a car? All the questions begin piling up deep within my heart and my soul. And so I schedule an appointment to get the car fixed, and sure enough, the day that I have the schedule for the car to get fixed, I get very, very sick. Another piece of bad news. And it felt like that week, time and time again, bad news, bad news, bad news. I don't know if you feel this as well, but I feel like there is an overwhelming amount of bad news. Can I get an amen? It seems like anywhere and everywhere I go, I turn the TV on, and time after time, there is tragedy. I open up my phone, and I open up Twitter, and all I see is anger, resentment, and hatred. More bad news. And then there's the everyday life stuff that tends to happen that just begins to take over and dominate all of the way that we are living and thinking. I don't know about you, but too often I let that drown out the good news. I let the bad news and the difficulties and the challenges of life get in the way of seeing the goodness of all that I have right in front of me. It doesn't matter. I don't know if you've ever felt like this. You get rid of one piece of bad news. Maybe you fix something, but then another thing is just waiting to come. It's not even the same thing. It's just another thing. Perhaps you feel like that. I'm going to bet that this morning, as we walked into this room, maybe even the moment you began putting your shoes on, maybe even the moment you put your feet on the ground this morning, you were already thinking about that bad news. Perhaps it's the news you heard from the doctor. Maybe the bad news is, you know, I really haven't talked to my son or my father another day. Kids in the room, maybe the bad news is, man, I really didn't get that toy I wanted for Christmas. Adults, maybe you didn't get the toy you wanted for Christmas. We don't have to look very far for bad news, friends. It's all around us. The problem is we allow it to take the steering wheel of our lives and guide everything. We have this idea, this concept of how life should be, but life tends to have a way of saying, yeah, you know what, we're actually going to go over here. Life is actually going to do this, and it's never quite what we want or how we picture it. and we lose the good news. Now, friends, brothers, and sisters, I'm pretty sure that Christmas is not about bad news. I'm pretty sure Christmas is a celebration of the ultimate good news, and so I can't help but wonder why, a few days after we celebrate the good news, we so easily slip back in to these old patterns and ways of living and allowing the bad news to really swallow us whole and take over every way we think and put a filter over our eyes of the beauty and the goodness of what God has given us. If you have your Bible, what I'd like to do is actually take us back. If you were here on Christmas Eve, we're going to reread a portion of Scripture that I think is really imperative for us to think about this morning in context of good news versus bad news. And so in Luke chapter 2, you'll find this story. And this story is, we're going to pick up in verse 8, and this is what happens right after Jesus is born. So Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Then in verse 8, it says this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had just seen and heard, which they had been told about." This is a pretty remarkable story, and I think it's remarkable in a way that maybe we don't often think about. Often during this time of year, we see these. We see, what's behind me? It's a nativity, right? And we've all, how many of you have a nativity in your home? And many of them are quite cute. We have several nativities. We have a VeggieTales nativity. We have a Charlie Brown nativity. And then we have our fancy glass one that I think came from Walmart. It's real fancy. That was a joke. So we have all these nativities, and kids in the room, maybe you've had coloring pages where shepherds have been on them, and shepherds are often very nice and cute with their sheep, and it looks very sweet. But the reality of a shepherd's life was very, very different than I think many of us have a picture of. Being a shepherd was not an easy thing. In fact, many shepherds were just viewed as outcasts. Many scholars believe they were actually known to be thieves and liars. They could not get an occupation doing many other things. The only people who would hang out with them were animals. And so here they are. They have no other options to turn to. Life is not great. Really, life is filled with bad news. Now, granted, a lot of the bad news was what they self-created. They created their own misery here, and they had to live life out in the fields with very, very little pay, with very, very little sleep, and they were the outcasts. People did not like engaging with shepherds. This was not an occupation you wanted. If you were a shepherd, odds are you were an outcast in society. I don't know about you, but often I feel quite like a shepherd. I feel like an outcast. I feel like I don't belong. I feel like life has nothing but bad news after bad news after bad news to offer me as well. And so I don't fit in. I don't belong. I may as well go live out in the fields with sheep. They stunk. They had nothing. They knew that royalty, the king, would offer them no hope of anything, because why would they? In that time period, really the people who had hope were the elite, the people who had money, the people who had power, the people who had something to offer the king. And what could a shepherd have to offer the king? And yet what's fascinating about this story that I think we skip over too quickly every year is the very first people God chooses to share the good news with are the people who don't believe good news will ever come. God is making a statement to these people and to us, I believe, that good news, no matter your situation, is always good news. And the bad news of life never wins when there is good news to be had. Good news is that there is a Savior. The angel says it himself, that there is good news. I bring you good news of great joy for who? Some people? Or all people. It's all. Every single person, no matter who you are, no matter how broken you may feel, no matter how outcast you may be in your mind or in actuality, God says, no, no, no. I have come to be a savior for everyone, to save us from all of the bad news, that the bad news doesn't get the final word. The bad news does not win. Good news has come, and good news will save the day. Because who I come for is not simply the elite, but the elite and the outcast, the strong and the broken, the short, the tall, the white, the black. I have come for all. The badness of this world that we feel so often, the brokenness, doesn't get the final say. And so he declares this news to the shepherds, who really have had a lifetime of bad news, just like us quite frequently. And they have a choice to make. Will I choose to continue living in the bad news, or will I do something with it? And they hear this, and they kind of look at each other, and they say, we got to go check this out for ourselves. We need to go look and see this with our own eyes. And sure enough, they go, and they see the baby, and they realize the truth of the good news that they've been told. And they're amazed. And they don't just keep the good news. It's not just like a, oh, I found out good news and I keep it. Now, these were people who stole things quite frequently. They could have easily kept this news for themselves and said, well, I don't want to give it to anyone else. They didn't give me anything good for my whole life. Why would I give it back to them? But they realized the monumental, life-altering reality of this good news, and it cannot be simply contained for ourselves. It is something that must be embodied and shared in every way, shape, and form with our lives. And they go and they start spreading it. They're sharing the good news. They're telling everyone and anyone all about this baby. And it says in our passage, and the people were amazed. I think there's two things here going on. I think they were amazed because it's pretty amazing what Christ did, but they're also probably amazed that here are shepherds who are filled with joy, who are going out and living life new and different and not letting the old way dominate this new thing that God has for them. This, my friends, my brothers and sisters, is a truly powerful story if we allow it to be. The good news will always be true, but you have a choice to make every single day. As you're thinking about the things in your life that are bad news, that are weighing you down, have you forgotten the goodness of this story? That this story is not about the chains and the shackles that we feel from all the situations of life. Rather, it's a story that we have been set free from all of that because of what Christ did. Our Savior has come. Over the course of the Christmas season, we were trying to find some easy service projects for families. We have a lot of kids in our kids' ministry, and we had a number of families who were looking for something, and so we started talking and brainstorming about what we could do, and we have a lot of people who come to our church who are connected with the Carlotta. So if you're familiar with the Carlotta, it's a retirement home. Is that fair? Okay, it's a retirement home. And so a lot of people live there who can't get out very frequently. And so we decided we wanted to bring some love to them. And so we decided we were going to go caroling at the Carlotta. And so we also, our kids wanted to make these popsicle stick nativity scene. Something very simple. It was a bunch of popsicle sticks that kind of made up a little nativity. They colored on them and they put a little string on top so there was like an ornament that people could hang up or they could set there. But it was a very simple way our kids and families could go and just share the love of Christ this season. And we had this scheduled during the course of the week I mentioned earlier where all of this stuff was going on. So I have to admit, I did not want to go. I had enough other things on my plate that I was kind of dreading it. Perhaps you're here this morning and you felt that this season, that you were dreading going into something. And so I remember walking into the building and we kind of gather around this table and we start singing songs and it was great and it was fun. I saw that it brought a lot of joy to the people who were there. And so one of the final things we did as a group, we walked around the facility and caroled all around for the people who couldn't make it into that room. We were in the assisted living portion of the Carlotta. And so as we were doing that, I tend to talk a lot to people, and I got kind of toward the back, and the group kind of kept going, but we had this, me and the couple people had the basket that had all of the nativity sets, and so we had a couple that we were still handing out as we walked around the building. And we came across this one woman. Her name was Lorraine. And as we wrap up this morning, I want you to think about this idea of embodying the good news the way Lorraine did and does. We met Lorraine. She was in a wheelchair. And we could tell she was having a little bit of trouble getting into her room. And so me and a couple other adults went over and we just started talking to her, introduced ourselves, said, "Hey, my name's Ryan. I'm from Palm Desert Presbyterian. We'd love to just wish you a Merry Christmas, and we have a little nativity set our kids' ministry made." And you could tell by the way she was looking at me that she was surprised I was giving her any attention. You could tell that she was a little bit taken aback that someone would kind of like spend that time and care talking to her and bring her a gift. Now, I don't know anything about Lorraine. I don't know what her life situation is, but I had a lot of questions as I left there about what her day-to-day looks like. By all accounts, I have a lot more freedom. She probably can't get out as much. I get to interact with people on a daily basis. And here I am, frustrated and grumpy that I'm there. And Lorraine probably has to be there. She probably doesn't have much of an option. to me, that would feel like not great news. And so as we were talking to her, we said, hey, well, we have this ornament for you. We'd love to give it to you. And she kind of looked at me and she said, I don't have a Christmas tree. And I noticed in her front little doorway area, there was a little cactus. And this is what we call in the desert. I've been here for 2 years, so I've created a new phrase. It's desert Christmas tree. And that's our cactuses, our cacti. And so I said, well, Lorraine, you have a tree right here. This could be your Christmas tree. And she looked at it, and she looked at me, and she looked at the ornament, and she was like, you're right. And she asked me, would you help me put it on the tree? So we put it on her tree. And I remember this moment where we were putting it on her tree, and Lorraine had the biggest smile that anyone has ever had. And I took note of that because she was so incredibly thankful, number one, that we would stop and talk with her, but number two, we would give her this gift. But I'm wondering, number three, if she saw the beauty of the representation of the good news. And tears began to swell up in her eyes. We told her Merry Christmas. Told her it was great meeting her. We gave her a huge hug. She told me as we were walking away, I am so thankful for this and for you guys in your church. I'm going to share this with everyone. I love that it's right here in the front of my room because I can share it with everyone who comes to my room. I walked away from that situation, back into my normal life that's full of all the chaos that I mentioned, and I'm sure more that was waiting. And as the days went by and the weeks went by, here I am, even after Christmas, still reflecting on this very simple interaction with Lorraine, who probably doesn't even know how deeply she impacted me. But the joy of the good news, of the simple gift of somebody giving her time and being with her, she was so grateful. Despite her situation, in spite of anything that she was that had gone on in her life, in spite of however many people may or may not talk to her on a daily basis, she was grateful. And wanted to share the goodness of that gift with everyone who came to her door. Lorraine is an inspiration, not just for me, but I believe for all of us. It's easy, brothers and sisters, to let the bad news win. But the good news of Christ is so much bigger. We have people in our lives who know that we claim to have the good news. Maybe it's your brother, maybe it's your sister, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your parents. People in your life see that you claim to have the good news, but there's a question here. If you're claiming to have the good news, if you've claimed to live into this reality, but all you're demonstrating with your life is bad news, what is that saying to the world? What is that saying to the people who are looking at us, that we are claiming that we have new life in Christ, but I'm just going to sit here and complain the whole time? I have new life in Christ, but I'm worried about everything. I have new life in Christ, but I'm mad constantly. Those two things don't work together. They can never. They work in opposition to one another. And so the invitation of the Christmas story is not over on Christmas Eve, but it's a question of what do you do in your everyday life, day in, day out, embodying the good news? Are you living out the good news with your interactions anywhere you go? Whether or not people know that you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, it doesn't matter, because the good news should be evident in everything that we do. It should impact us the way that it impacted the shepherds, who had no reason to have good news, and yet their entire lives changed in an instant. Brothers and sisters, the Christmas narrative is an invitation for us to embody the good news. I love that you guys could not see this if you were here at the 5 o'clock service on Christmas Eve. We had kids come on up right here, and I read our Bible story not out of the NIV or anything like that. I used my favorite translation, the World Children's Bible. It's great. You all should have it. There are pictures. You'll love it. And I use that in chapel, in kids' ministry, and things like that. It tells the story from a very simple way for all of us to understand. And as I was reading it right here, I noticed something for the first time that only I saw, but it was a reminder from God in this room on Christmas Eve to me that I want to remind all of us of. The only thing that was capitalized in this entire story were two words: good news. And if I've learned anything in kids' ministry, it's that when you're reading things that are all capitalized, it means you emphasize it. So here's this kids' ministry Bible that is saying the emphasis here is on the good news. And I would say the same to each and every one of us this morning. The good news must be our emphasis in how we talk, in how we live, in everything that we do. We cannot let the bad news dominate. The good news is what the story and what our lives have always and will always be about. Grace and peace.